Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our epistle lesson from Galatians chapter 5. Well, it always happened towards the end of the school year. All the kids look forward to it. Well, that special day was field day. Yeah, it was that fun time. It's almost a carnival atmosphere there for the kids. And so, you know, the teachers and they would have parents come in and help do those kinds of events for all the kids. And if your school was big enough, like mine was when I was growing up, my grade school, well, you would have classrooms compete against the other classrooms, you know, for all the different events that were going on. And so it was a lot of fun. And now as an adult there, I could see how much work that the teachers went into doing that field day, making sure that it went off and having all the parents there. Well, after grade school, well, you go on to middle school, or for me, went on to junior high. That's 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. And what they would do, unlike here, we take the kids and they go on a special trip here. Well, public school, you didn't do that. And so you'd have some kind of special day for the 9th graders because they're getting ready to go on to high school. And so someone one year, my year, when I was in 9th grade, suggested to the teachers, like, well, why don't you put on some kind of field day for the 9th graders? So they thought that was a good idea. But this wasn't your typical field day. They had other kinds of events, like sack races and three-legged races, that kind of thing. In fact, that was kind of a lot of fun. Because what they do when we had there for the three-legged race, well, people would just, you know, they'd match up with their friends. You know, they'd take yarn and tie your ankles together there, make sure it was fit, so that way, you know, you could do that three-legged race. Now, the funny thing, though, is that, well, you had tall people with short people. Now, when you're doing a three-legged race, that takes a lot of concentration to work, right? Because everybody's step is just a little bit different, so you really had to concentrate. And, you know, of course, everybody's out there practicing doing all this because, I mean, they almost made everybody do this. So you had, like, oh, gosh, 100 kids out there and 50 pairs of people there sitting there all lined up with their legs and ankles tied together there and start walking around. So they're practicing and people are falling down and all that stuff because if you don't concentrate, that's exactly what's going to happen. Now, the funniest part for me was watching these people do this. You know, they're not really dating in 9th grade, but you're a couple, right? You know, so. And when you'd have those couples and they're sitting there practicing with each other and then they'd sit there and fall down, the looks that they gave each other, oh, they'd make you howl with laughter. Sitting there, it's like, it's your fault, you know, and everybody's like, no, it's not mine, it's your fault, you know, it's hilarious. But the ones who won were always the ones who concentrated and looked at the finish line because they were making sure that they were walking in step together. Didn't matter what your height was. If you're working together, concentrating, then you can make it to the finish line without falling down. Well, that's what I want you to focus on here today. So we're looking at our epistle lesson for today. I want you to think of it in terms of a three-legged race and what that's going to mean for you. So the question is, who is going to be your partner? And who's going to help you win the race? Now listen to the first verse in our lesson for today. Paul says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Now, Paul speaks about a yoke here, and a big yoke is a big wooden bar that went across animals there to make sure that they would be walking together, working together, so that that big wooden bar be across their shoulders there, like some oxen, like we're talking about here in our Old Testament lesson. And so they'd have like hoops that would go underneath their chins there, and that would be bolted in to the top of the bar, so that way the animals in were not free to go one way or another. So that would keep the pair of oxen then walking together. So if one went that way, well, then the other one had to go that way too, right? Okay, that's just how it worked. Now Paul here talks about, well, it's kind of like being tied together here, yoked, like a three-legged race, right? So he's talking about this yoke of slavery. Now, the image here is not slavery in the sense of one person owning another, but rather it gets right back to saying that Paul's talking about being yoked to something. And in this case, slavery to sin. We're tied to sin. We can't get away from it. So no matter what happens, sin is always right there with us. Now, does a person have freedom to go away from sin? No, you do not. But Paul said very clearly here, it's like Christ has set us free. We are free from that yoke of slavery. That's what happened when Jesus went to the cross for you and me. There he died for those sins, setting us free from that punishment that should have been ours, that we should have been yoked for that sin, but now we're not. We are free from it. And so, as he went and rose to heaven, well, so he gives us hope as well. So, he set us free from the consequences of our sins. But the crux of the issue there is where Paul continues on, and he says, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. What he means is this: if you have been set free from something, don't go back and tie yourself again to it. If you're free and you have that freedom, why do that? Trouble is that people do that. How does that work? You know, on the surface there, it would seem like it's a no-brainer not to sit there and tie yourself back up again to it, but we do. If we've been set free from sin, why would we want to go back to it? Because that's just being detrimental to us, right? Well, what he's talking about there is that you need to avoid that. Because there's a war that's raging on inside each and every one of us. While we have been set free because what Christ has done for us, we're still sinners inside. We still sin. And that temptation to go back to sin is there. Paul says it this way: for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Well, first, what are the desires of the flesh? Well, Paul lists off a bunch of sins. In fact, you can kind of group them up into five different categories if you want to. First one is sexual sins. He's talking about immorality, impurity, sensuality. It's appropriate that those were listed first because that's what, back in the day, the people did frequently. Really no different for us today either. The second grouping is sins against our relationship with God, as in the first three commandments: idolatry and sorcery, that kind of thing. The third grouping is sins against our relationships with one another: enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. And then there were public spectacle sins, okay? Drunkenness and orgies. And then five, any and every other sins. And that's where he talks about, and things like these, whatever our evil thoughts can come up with. So they're all in there. And Paul's saying, don't go back to those things. And then he contrasts all those sins there with something else. Christ-like qualities, he lists. Talks about how they're the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Notice the difference there. What's listed first? Well, love is. Love is listed first. Love, as in love for one's neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Contrast that with the immoral love that he was listing off there, sins, the desires of the flesh. Then he lists joy and peace, kindness and goodness. You see, as he's listing off all these things there, there's no hate. Hate has no room to be in there. Hate should not be in there at all. And then the last one, self-control. That's one that I always make sure that I share that with the kids when I'm doing confirmation, okay? When it's their turn to be quiet so I can talk, right? Okay, self-control, that's something that you can pray for. It's good for adults too. Because you see, what's going on here is that he's wanting to make sure that when you have plenty of self-control, then you can, what? Resist the desires of the flesh. You can resist temptations. That's what he wants you to have. You see, that's where Paul is addressing all of us here. He's saying, it's like, if you believe in Jesus, that he died for you, then we ought to follow the path that he laid out for us. And so it starts by living by the Spirit. Now, living by the Spirit means doing those things that Paul just listed off. That means showing love to one another. Just not saying it, but it's rather doing it. You see, it's showing those Christ-like qualities to others. You see, as we go through life, we are always in a three-legged race. Always. You have one of two partners. Your partner's going to be the Spirit, or it's going to be the flesh. And that's it. Okay? Which one are you going to be tied to? You see, Christ sets you free from the flesh so that you might walk in the Spirit. But the flesh is always out there, tapping on the shoulder there, kind of like cutting in for a dance. The flesh wants to cut in there and be tied back to you again to be your partner. That's where that self-control comes in, to push off the flesh there and rather embrace what Christ has given us, fruits of the Spirit. You see, this race before us that we have is real. It's our daily life. And in order to win, we need to be walking in the Spirit. That's why it's so important to come here, worship regularly. Because you see, there are times in which the flesh is going to get a hold of us and we sin. We just do that, and it happens. But every time we come and confess those sins, we receive forgiveness too. And that puts us lockstep with the Spirit yet again. You see, God wants to walk with us always. He wants us to be there with Him. So that one day, when that day comes, when He gathers us all, we will be walking right up to heaven, lockstep with the Spirit, where we will hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.